Hey, this is Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube, guiding you to a career in financial services. This episode originally aired on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.youtube.com/theYouTubeCFP. Make sure you join me each week as I share with you information on how to become a financial professional and the things you should be considering as you navigate down this career path. Without further ado, here's this week's episode. Fee compression, zero commissions, robo-advice. In light of all this, why would anybody want to become a financial professional? Isn't this going to ruin your career? Maybe, maybe not. Let's talk about it. Get the pen and paper out. More of a fireside chat today. Dominique Henderson, your CFP on YouTube. And I really, really want to bring you in close to all my aspiring financial professionals out there that are maybe worried about some of the narratives that are being painted out there. Let's see. There's this whole thing around zero commissions, and everything is the race to zero to save money. Big brokers are charging you $0 to trade on their platform right now. So how could you charge a fee to somebody? Let's see. There's also the invasion of technology and robo-advice that is taking over the advisor's role to a client, and it's causing what they call fee compression, where you can't charge as much for the advice because robots do it much quicker and more efficiently. So all on the surface, this stuff looks pretty like doom and gloom, and like, what could you do? Because everybody's going to run out and do it on their own, and there will be no more financial advice to be given because everybody will want to do it on their own, right? Not necessarily. So what I want to do today is, if you're on the fence as a financial professional and you're saying, should I do this career? Should I not do this career? You know, what are the pros and cons? Quick plug, make sure you get my 10 tips how to jumpstart your financial career guide. I'll leave that down in the show notes. You definitely need to get that. But I also want to give you a few arguments as to why the financial services career is an excellent career for you. It's an excellent industry with almost unlimited upside potential for the right person, and here's why. First, let's talk about robo-advice, because this has been around for at least a half a decade or more, and I think there's a lot of, you know, noise. Let's pull back the noise and turn down the noise, and let me give you the signal. The first thing you need to know about robo-advice is it is very cheap. Right? It, for big firms like Wealthfront, Personal Capital, and some of the other names that are out there that do this, Betterment, there's a lot of money that has been spent on, you know, scaling the type of advice that can be automated. But that is a small portion of what a client needs. The rebalancing, portfolio rebalancing, the asset allocation, you know, the actual, you know, what funds are going to go into that. Yes, that can be automated based on a risk profile. It's not perfect, but is any investment strategy perfect? No. So that portion is obviously something that can be what I would call commoditized, right? It's almost how, you know, back in the day, you used to write, you know, handwrite your tax returns and pull out a calculator. And now you can go on TurboTax and do it a whole lot cheaper and a whole lot more efficiently. That service has been commoditized. There have been some aspects of the financial service industry that have been commoditized. And I think there are some aspects that will get commoditized in the future. The whole point of it is, after talking with my friend Calvin Williams a few weeks ago, we understand that there's an element of the financial advice relationship with the human-to-human interaction that cannot be duplicated by a robo-advisor. And what I would say is, if you are an advisor or financial professional thinking that you can be duplicated, you have to remember what you're charging your fee for. If you're charging your fee for things that can be commoditized, then you shouldn't do that. You should change your mindset around why you're in relationship with this person. If you're charging your fee for the advice that you're giving, and what do I mean by advice? Let's just unpack a real quick example. If somebody comes to you and they are looking for financial advice, what you don't want to do is put your value proposition in your offer around the fact that you're going to pick stocks consistently good all the time, or that you're going to help them, you know, with their portfolio rebalancing, or any of those things that I feel that are commoditized. What you're going to tell them about is how you help clients avoid the 5, 6, and 7-figure mistakes that cause them to derail all the things in life that they want to really do, which is the reason why they're working and making money right now. Like, nobody wants to work forever and ever and ever and ever, store up all this money to never be able to do anything with it. They have dreams, they have aspirations, and you as a financial professional are there to help make sure that those dreams and aspirations come true. That is where your value lies. It's not necessarily in the schematics or the logistics of how they get there. That helps, but I would use robo-advice and I would use automation and technology in order to help you get there more efficiently. So you can spend your quality time with the person, you know, changing the scope of the plan as their life changes and being there at every nook and cranny and turn in the road, because that's what humans need. They need that relationship. They need that connection. That robo-advice and technology will never be able to do. Hey, Dominique here, and I hope you are really enjoying this week's episode. Look, if you're a current or aspiring financial professional and you'd like to join a community of like-minded individuals that I'm sharing my 20 plus years of experience with, make sure you visit my website at www.djh-capital.com for more information. Now back to this week's episode. Let's talk about fee compression. Fee compression, just real quick recap, is when you were able to charge, let's say, 100% of a fee. And now, because of certain things in the industry and certain forces, maybe like robo-advice or automation, you're only able to charge 75% of what you were able to charge before. So there's a 25% discount on your services, effectively. That's fee compression. Now, what I would say is, I've been coaching advisors for a year now, or almost 2 years now, and I've spoken to advisors small, large, medium size, all types, and I haven't really noticed that much fee compression with the right type of advisors. Now, if you're the type of advisor that is bundling your service offering around all those things that we just talked about that are commoditized, you've probably experienced fee compression. You probably experienced clients not getting the level of service that they feel like they're paying for, or that is out there otherwise, and therefore they're leaving your firm because they can go get the same service or better service for the same price or cheaper. So you have fell victim to fee compression. But what I would say is, if you're bundling your services the way that I just talked about, with the relationship component, with a very concierge, high touch, where the person feels, you know, like they're not a number, I haven't noticed that those advisors, those type of advisors, have experienced fee compression. Matter of fact, they've raised their fees. They're quite the opposite. So I think you have to get your head around what your value proposition, and this is all getting back to what your value proposition is as a financial advisor. It's not good enough anymore to go just take the schedule of services that have been around for the last 25 years and say that you're going to offer that up on a silver platter to somebody and, you know, want them to come work with you. It's just not the case anymore because of technology and because of automation. So fee compression does not seem to be a real thing for the advisor of tomorrow that has their mindset correct. Now, this thing about zero commissions can be a little difficult to explain, so I'm going to try to do my best in the time that we have left. But for the most part, it's a shell game. Do you remember back in the day, I may be dating myself a little bit, but those cartoons where they had the three shells? It was like maybe like a half of a coconut shell, and the ball was underneath one of them, and they were just moving them around. You had to try to figure out where the ball was going to be. I think that's pretty much zero commission game, right? So most Schwabs and, you know, any of the other big brokers of the world, I'm naming Schwab just because they've been in the news lately, but all of them do the same thing. So let's just say that we're talking about big discount broker X, right? And they have, let's call it, three revenue streams, right? They get paid from the fact that you do a trade with them, and they charge a fee or a commission, and that's a revenue source for them, right? They're going to also get paid on the balances, the cash balances that you keep with them. They'll get paid the difference between what they're paying you and what they actually get paid by the Fed Reserve on those balances, or some notion of that. So just notice there's some margin or spread between the interest that they're paying you and the interest they're receiving on those balances. And then last but not least, the more profitable and the probably lesser known profit center is going to be the profit center of order flow. So order flow is when they take they aggregate all the orders from their buys and their sales and their activities, and they sell that data to exchanges that can then use that data for creating algorithmic trading strategies to really essentially trade around you as an individual investor And this is, you know, this is the notions that we've seen in the last probably decade or so that this has been going around. So this big, you know, box algorithmic trading, they have to get the data from somewhere in order to do these trades. And that's where they get it. They buy it from these brokers. Now, whenever you have three revenue streams, when I talked about like this, the discount broker, if they're going to charge you zero, they're not going to make any money off of that first revenue stream and charge you zero for trade. Where do you think they're pushing the rest of their energy to in order to make their money? Because they're not going to lose money. We all know this. They're not going to lose money. So you got to think that they're going to double down in one of those last two areas that we talked about. Well, the second area, the money that they make from interest, you know, it's kind of a fixed game. If the Fed lowers rate, there's not much more, you know, wiggle room that they have. There's not a lot of margin there. So where do you think a lot of the energy and the time spent in the doubling down of efforts is going to go? Well, it's going to be on the selling of your data for order flow to these exchanges. They're just going to charge more. They're going to sell more data to them. They're going to try to attract more customers coming in the door for free trades and sell more data. That's just the way it works. So know that and be aware of that, because you can't compete with that. As a personal branded financial professional, or even with a big firm, you can't compete with that. Now, what you would do is you would probably just be aware of that if there's a conversation with a prospective client. The SEC, I think it's the 606 report, shows you all the brokers that are selling order flow and where that revenue is coming from. I think this is a regulation that started in the last 3 to 4 years, maybe even 5 years, that the SEC knew about this practice. And therefore, if a firm is engaging in it, they have to disclose it through the 606 report. The only takeaway I can give you, or the so what, is that this is a reality of the society and the market that we live in right now. As a personally branded financial professional, whether you choose to be an advisor or a coach or whatever, what you need to do is craft a story, your own story that resonates with the type of people you want to work with, why you want to help them, why you're so excited about being in this industry, and how the value and the experience that you have will translate into value for them. That's the only thing you really need to concentrate on doing. And I'm not saying that this is easy, but it is a very simple formula of how you need to put together your story. You need to put it in front of enough people that you can work with them and that will provide you with the economic means to be viable in the society. So that's the name of the game. So do you feel better? Hopefully you do. There's only a few issues with this industry, three that I named today, that could be giving you a little angst. If you've heard of anything more, leave those down in the comments. I would love to address those. I would love to debunk any of the fears around entering this industry. That's not to say that it won't be scary, but it's to say that we need a lot of great individuals like you, and I don't want any of those headlines to scare you off if you don't have the right information. So leave those down in the comments, and I'll try to address those as best as I can. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Well, that wraps up this week's episode, and I hope you were able to glean at least one takeaway that will help you on your path. You know what? I'd really love to hear what it was that I said that may have helped you. Feel free to drop me an email at info@djh-capital.com. That's info@djh-capital.com. One last thing, my friend. It would really help the podcast if you would leave a review on the platform that you're enjoying it on. I'd really appreciate it. And it will help more financial professionals like yourself find out about what we're doing here. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.